of Revelation into the book of Daniel. We have seen that in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, both of these books foretell the coming of a beast who opposes the people of God. And it has been demonstrated that in the past, this was an extremely destructive element which had arisen within the religion of Islam. And by the time that Baha'u'llah appeared, the clergy and the government leaders, which in one sense are the beasts of the book of Revelation, became Baha'u'llah's worst enemies. They despised him, and they conspired to destroy Baha'u'llah. Now, even though Baha'u'llah had committed no crime, his enemies had him arrested. He was beaten until he was bruised and bloody, and he was thrown into an underground prison almost unimaginable in its disgusting circumstances. This prison was dark, it was cold, it was vermin-infested, and it had no sanitary facilities. Now, his enemies also placed Baha'u'llah in special chains, which were reserved for the worst criminals of the realm. Now, these chains weighed over 100 pounds apiece, and they cut deeply into Baha'u'llah's shoulders and neck, and they scarred him for life. Now, Baha'u'llah's health deteriorated so much in the dungeon that he almost died. And his visage, as Isaiah said, was so marred that even his young son had difficulty recognizing him when he saw him. Now, the Islamic clergy had decreed that membership in Baha'u'llah's new religion was a crime punishable by death. The Islamic clergy and government leaders not only conspired to kill the Bab, the forerunner of Baha'u'llah, but they eventually killed more than 20,000 innocent believers. Many were put to death in the most fiendishly imaginative ways. And yet, despite these persecutions, Baha'u'llah's fame increased, and this new religion continued to grow. So next, Baha'u'llah's enemies, in an attempt to limit his growing popularity, his enemies exiled him away from his home country. Baha'u'llah was forced to travel over 3,000 miles on these exiles. And his enemies eventually sent him to the most foul and desolate prison in the Ottoman Empire. They sent him to the prison city of Acre in Israel. Now, it was the hope of his enemies that Baha'u'llah would die in this horrible prison, and that he would be forgotten. But instead, by sending Baha'u'llah to Israel, and by sending Baha'u'llah to Acre, his enemies actually unknowingly fulfilled the ancient Bible prophecies of Isaiah and the other prophets. Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, came to Israel from the east involuntarily as a prisoner and an exile. Now, life in the prison city of Acre was extremely harsh. Baha'u'llah's young son and several of Baha'u'llah's companions actually died from the conditions of Acre. And Baha'u'llah himself, too, suffered terribly. And at times, it seemed that he too would perish. Now this, however, was not to happen. After all, if you recall, Isaiah had promised that the Messiah would endure these hardships. He would come out of the prison. He would live to see his seed, his children, and he would live to an old age. Now, after spending years in Acre, Baha'u'llah did eventually come out of his prison. It was then that he and his children then pitched his tent on the side of Mount Carmel, overlooking Acre to the north and the plain of Sharon to the south. Now, Baha'u'llah spent the rest of his 40-year-long ministry as a prisoner near Akka. So as you can see, as Isaiah promised, God prolonged Baha'u'llah's days. He did come out of the prison, and he did live to see his seed, his children. Baha'u'llah eventually lived to be 75 years old. And it was from the prison of Akka that Baha'u'llah wrote the new teachings that, as Isaiah said, magnify the law and make it honorable. And Baha'u'llah also has created the new government whose increase will see no end, as promised by Isaiah. The supreme governing body of Baha'u'llah's new world order is called the Universal House of Justice. Now, when we compare the prophecies of Isaiah to the life story and to the teachings of Baha'u'llah, we can see that Baha'u'llah very clearly fulfills each and every one of the prophecies given to us by Isaiah. Now, this brings us full circle to the first prophecy that we mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. The Hebrew prophet Ezekiel, speaking of the Messiah, said, quote, "Thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year." Ezekiel 4:6. This is the day for a year statement from Ezekiel. Now, using the day for a year principle again, we know that the 40 days actually are 40 years. In other words, Ezekiel is saying that the Messiah will, quote, bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, unquote, for 40 years. The Jewish rabbinical scholar, Theodore Gaster, in his book, The Dead Sea Scrolls, gives us an even clearer picture of this 40-year prophecy. Rabbi Gaster says, quote, "The war against Gog and Magog, the beast, would mark the end of the present era of wickedness, but not the end of the world. It would last 40 years, the period of so-called messianic travail, and would pave the way for the era of divine favor." Now, these prophecies, once again, were fulfilled by Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah suffered exile and imprisonment at the hands of the Islamic clergy for 40 years. His sufferings have ushered in this new era of divine favor and progress. Now, virtually every area of human life has been transformed since Baha'u'llah appeared. Look at what life was like 150 years ago. And then consider the tremendous advances in the world since then. It's obvious that a completely new era in the history of humanity has dawned. This is the long-awaited era of divine favor, which will gradually see the establishment of the universal peace, which is foretold by Isaiah. Now, the story of the conflict between the beast and the Son of Man, the Islamic beast and the Baha'i faith, still continues today. Now, the Baha'i faith is the only non-Islamic religion ever to show significant growth in an Islamic country. And despite ferocious opposition, the Baha'i faith has grown to become the second largest religion of Iran, which is ancient Persia. Now, when the Islamic government of Iran seized power in 1979, they once again launched a concerted campaign to destroy the Persian Baha'i community. But when the Baha'is of Iran refused to convert to the religion of Ayatollah Khomeini, thousands of these innocent people were either executed, murdered, abducted, or imprisoned. Their property was confiscated, and they were no longer allowed to hold jobs. They were not even allowed to leave the country. Now, when an appeal for mercy was received from the President of the United States, The Islamic government of Iran responded by executing 10 more Baha'i women and young girls. In order to induce the greatest amount of terror, these young women were hanged one at a time while the others watched. The youngest Baha'i executed was a 15-year-old high school girl. Now, the human rights group Amnesty International has called this persecution of the Iranian Baha'i community the most serious human rights violation on earth. And the sufferings of the Baha'is of Iran still continues today, despite appeals from the governments of the civilized countries of the world. Now, the Islamic Feast is still determined to destroy the Baha'i faith. Now, Jesus taught that, quote, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And anyone who has recently read the newspapers or watched the news on TV can easily see the fruits of the Islamic Feast. What are the fruits of the Baha'i faith? What did Baha'u'llah teach? You know, Jesus said that false prophets will arise. But then he said, the way that you can tell a true prophet from a false prophet is by their fruits. What is Baha'u'llah's fruits? What did Baha'u'llah teach? Baha'u'llah said, quote, "We desire but the good of the world and the happiness of the nations. Yet they deem us a stirrer up of strife and sedition, worthy of bondage and banishment. That all nations should become one in faith, and all men as brothers. That the bonds of affection and unity between the sons of men should be strengthened. That diversity of religion should cease, and differences of race be annulled. What harm is there in this? Yet so it shall be. These fruitless strifes, these ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come." Unquote. The central teachings of the Baha'i faith are the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, and the oneness of humanity. Baha'u'llah teaches that divine revelation is an ongoing and progressive process. He affirms that all the great religions of the world are divine in origin, and that they represent successive stages in the spiritual evolution of human society. Now, the teachings of Baha'u'llah revitalize the essential verities revealed by each former messenger. And in addition, he has revealed new teachings which satisfy the needs of the world in this new era. Now, some of these new principles include the elimination of prejudices of all kinds, with special emphasis on the elimination of racial prejudice, the independent search for truth, the equality of men and women, the essential harmony of science and religion, the need for universal compulsory education for children, the need for a universal auxiliary language, a second language which the people of the world can learn, a spiritual solution to economic problems, the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty, and the protection of cultural diversity. Now, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Baha'i is one of the most widespread and diverse religious groups on earth today. Britannica states, quote, "Over 14 major religious systems are each now found in over 80 countries. Christianity, Islam, and the Baha'i world faith are the most global." Unquote. Now, however, unlike the other religions, the Baha'i faith has never split. The Baha'i faith has never split up into sects or denominations. The Baha'i faith is still unified. The Baha'i faith has demonstrated its ability to attract members from every culture and religion. And today, the Baha'i international community is a cross-section of humanity living in more than 125,000 locations in over 340 countries and territories. These figures are probably obsolete by now. The Baha'i Faith is growing so rapidly. The Baha'i Faith includes over 2,100 races, nationalities, tribes, and ethnic groups. And Baha'i literature is translated into almost 800 languages and dialects. Now, the promise that peace will come was given by the Hebrew prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall he learn war any more." This is in Isaiah 2. In Isaiah 9, he says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government shall be upon the Messiah's shoulder. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." The government will increase until it encompasses the entire earth. Now, Baha'u'llah, the promised one, foretold in the prophecies of Isaiah, has established this government. Baha'u'llah's government is democratically elected, and it exists today at the local, national, and world levels. The world head of Baha'u'llah's government is the 9-member Universal House of Justice. Now, the Baha'i World Center resides on the site of Mount Carmel, the holy mountain in Israel, as promised by Isaiah. And the Baha'i writings describe the Universal House of Justice as, quote, "the sole refuge of a tottering civilization," unquote. Now, this house, the Universal House of Justice, was created by Baha'u'llah and has been charged by him with the responsibility to establish the peace promised by Isaiah. Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, "It is incumbent upon the ministers of the House of Justice to promote the lesser peace. This matter is imperative and absolutely essential," unquote. Now, in response to this Great Commission, the Universal House of Justice recently issued a call to the peoples of the world in a letter titled, "The Promise of World Peace." This letter begins, quote, "The great peace towards which people of goodwill throughout the centuries have inclined their hearts, of which seers and poets for countless generations have expressed their vision, and for which, from age to age, the sacred scriptures of mankind have constantly held the promise. This peace is now at long last within the reach of the nations. World peace is not only possible, but inevitable. Now, whether peace is to be reached only after unimaginable horrors precipitated by humanity's stubborn clinging to old patterns of behavior, or is to be embraced by an act of consultative will, is the choice before all who inhabit the earth." Unquote. Now, the promise of world peace identifies the favorable signs for peace. It defines the role of religion as the source of order and examines the root causes of war. It lists some of the primary obstacles to peace, such as racism, the inordinate disparity between rich and poor, unbridled nationalism, and the lack of full equality between the sexes. It states that world order can be founded only on a consciousness of the oneness of mankind, and it offers the Baha'i world community as a model of the unity necessary for peace. Finally, the promise of world peace calls for the holding of a, quote, mighty convocation, unquote, of the leaders of all nations that will lay the foundations of universal peace. Now, when Jesus first appeared 2,000 years ago, the excited news went out, quote, "We have found him whose coming was foretold in the scriptures," unquote. Now, this statement was immediately met by an objection, by a skeptical remark. And all Baha'is ask you to do is to examine the proofs of Baha'u'llah, to examine his teachings, and then to decide whether this story is true, to decide if Baha'u'llah truly is the Promised One, to decide whether Baha'u'llah truly is from God. Now, Jesus tried to prepare his followers to recognize the coming of his Father's kingdom. That's why he taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This prayer is found in Matthew 6:9. Now, this is one of the ultimate goals of Christianity, to recognize the coming of the kingdom. Now, Jesus knew that this would be difficult, and that's why he gave us so many prophecies to show us the way. Jesus hoped that we would have the ability to recognize the fulfillment of these prophecies so that we could help build the kingdom of his Father. In another place, Jesus said, quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." This is found in John 14:6. Now, to this statement, Baha'u'llah joyfully replies, quote, "Lo, the Father is come. Lo, the Father is come. And that which you were promised in the kingdom is fulfilled. This is the word which the Son, Jesus, concealed, when to those around him he said, ye cannot bear it now. Beware, O followers of the Son, that ye cast it not behind your backs. Take ye fast hold of it. Better is this for you than all that ye possess. This is that which the Son hath decreed, and whatsoever hath proceeded out of his blameless, his truth-speaking mouth can never be altered." Now, we have conclusively shown in this presentation that the mysterious Bible numbers and their corresponding prophecies have repeatedly foretold the appearance of Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i Faith. The Promised One has come, and the unity and well-being of the entire human family is the purpose of his revelation. Now, the Baha'i international community offers itself as an example that the lofty goals and objectives set by Baha'u'llah can be achieved, and that peace is possible. The Baha'i Faith helps us to understand the processes that are reshaping the world, and it gives us hope that there are workable solutions to the problems that threaten humanity. Now, you may or may not have heard this extraordinary story before, and the Baha'is only ask you to do one thing. We ask you to examine the proofs, and then to decide objectively whether this exciting story is true. Now, if you do find that it is true, then we invite you to join with us hand in hand as we build the Christ promise, kingdom of God on earth. Now, in conclusion, Baha'u'llah states, "I bear witness, O friends, that the favor is complete, the argument fulfilled, the proof manifest, and the evidence established. Let it now be seen what your endeavors in the path of detachment will reveal. In this wise hath the divine favor been fully vouchsafed unto you and unto them that are in heaven and on earth. All praise to God, the Lord of all worlds. I would like to thank you for listening to this presentation, and I would like to bring this presentation to a close with a quote from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote, quote, "The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. I will do a new thing. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it?" We Baha'is invite you to learn more about Baha'u'llah, to learn more about the Baha'i faith. And if you do decide that it is true, that it is from God, then we invite you to join with us as we arise to spread these teachings around the world. The Baha'i faith will transform the world. Thank you for listening.